live.
All right, Sherry, let's go check for some eggs in the chicken house.
Okay, let's go.
We've been only eating eggs that our chickens produce. Oh, look at them all in the... Are those called nests or roosts?
Those are nests. And when it stands up like that, it's ready to lay an egg.
Oh, my goodness.
You can actually...
Watch it come out, huh? Yeah.
I don't know. Those two girls over there look to me like they're just...
They're hanging out and sleeping. Oh, yeah, I did lay an egg. Yeah, I did.
There it is.
Wow.
We've got one egg for breakfast. Oh, look, there's another. I got four. Maybe four going in.
Maybe, yeah. That one's looking around, isn't she?
I think they look for flies, too.
Yeah, some of them look like they're not really laying. They're just sitting there. Will they lay?
Well, this one's shaking up here. That means she's going to lay.
Yeah, I've noticed that about the shaking.
But that one down there.
She could be sitting on it, right?
I think she just might be.
But could she have laid it and she's sitting on it?
No. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Once they lay it, they get out.
See, there was one up there earlier, though, because I think there may... When one of them gets up there, maybe two eggs. Will they do that?
Yep.
Like one will lay an egg and then get out, and then another one will lay an egg in the same place?
Yep.
And that doesn't hurt anything, like they won't smush it or nothing?
They could. I mean... Can't, now, see, that's a good layer, the one with a floppy...
Yeah, right. She looks older with that big floppy headdress, doesn't she?
Yeah, it's like it got too heavy and it flopped.
Now, see, if I saw that out in the yard and somebody said, is that a rooster or a hen, I would call that a rooster. Because she's got a tail that sticks up like a rooster and a big headdress.
Yeah, she does, but...
But she just laid an egg.
Can everybody hear the chickens?
You said that they were louder. Like, hey, we're on the radio.
We're on the radio with David.
So this is like Studio Chicken Live.
Yeah, it's all about chickens today.
Not really. It is. We're starting out with chickens, aren't we? You know, it's funny about chickens though, because a lot of people do call us and say, I've got chickens and I want to start with bees. Will there be a problem? Will the bees attack my chickens, or will the chickens attack my bees? And wow, ours have really gotten along great.
I see the honeybees will come into the coop quite often. I don't know what they're looking for, but it is full of sawdust. I have noticed that they really like to be around the sawdust. But they come in and they fly out and the chickens go to peck at them. And if they catch them and eat them, I've never seen it cause a problem. So, but other than them flying in the coop once in a great, great while, I've never seen the bees around the chickens, and I have never seen a chicken go stick its head in the beehive.
You know, that's true. We let them free range sometimes, and they stay away from the beehives, don't they?
Yeah, that's just not a concern. Even though they free range, well, they go and sit underneath that pine tree that's right up next to the beehives. And I've never ever seen anybody go, wow, look at all those bugs over there. Let's go find out. So if you got chickens and you got honeybees, as far as I'm concerned, there's not a problem. Other people might have a different, you know, different experience, but I've not noticed any problem.
Yeah, I've seen bees go in there, like you said, on the sawdust. They like the moisture. And like, I've got a big pile of sawdust, and if you ever, after a rain, the bees like to go and suck the water out of the sawdust. But I've never seen the chickens go after a bee like they would a moth or another insect. It's almost like they know not to bother the bees.
Yeah, but, you know, people do tell us what animals bother the bees. And we have heard people say skunks do. And,
oh, yeah.
And, bears do. We don't live in bear country. What about possums and coons?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all those little critters do. You know, the skunks are really bad because what they'll do is they like to reach in there and grab the comb and the honey. And they actually eat bees, too. And a lot of people... In fact, we had a lady in Indiana that was on a bee forum, and she was saying, my hives were really nice, and all at once this one hive right beside the other one started getting real mean in the daytime. And other people were trying to help her solve the problem, and I said, sounds like skunks. Because if they're, you know, if they were nice, and all at once they turn mean, they're being kept up all night with a skunk trying to reach in there and eat the comb and the bees. And you can always tell a skunk because they'll scratch the dirt in front of the hive, or they'll scratch, you know, the bottom board on the front. So I emailed her and I said, look to see if there's any scratchings on the ground, or, oh no, I've seen that scratching in front of the hive. And I said, oh, that's skunks. You know, you gotta raise it up so that when the skunk reaches in there, he or she exposes their whole underside that's real tender. or somehow you've got to just prevent the skunk from getting in there. They have like little nail boards with little nails on it that you put in front of the hive, and the skunk can't walk across that. But I'd be afraid I'd forget that was there and go out there some some night and step on that.
Yeah, you know, we do have a lot of people who call, and they'll say things like, oh, you know, I've got an Africanized hive. The bees you sold me must have been Africanized. And, you know, that unless you live in the Southwest, that's not a problem. You know, anywhere in the U.S., especially where we live in the North, don't think Africanized. The first thing you have to think about is something must be bothering your hives at night.
Mm-hmm.
So you either got possums, you got coons out there, and of course everybody knows that mice love nothing better than to crawl up in a beehive and and try to camp out there. So, you know, some of you might have bears. Some of you might have, you know, I don't know. What else might do it?
Well, a common problem is they buy a gentle hive, like from us, a gentle queen or something, or a package or a nook or something. What happens is sometimes that queen will leave, or maybe they'll swarm, and the old queen goes with the swarm, and it leaves a virgin queen in the hive that has to go mate. Well, that virgin queen mates with bees in that area, drones in that area, and if those drones don't have a gentle characteristic about them, well, then that trait can be passed on. So you're actually re-queening with what you don't know. You don't know what you have when you re-queen like that in the open. So that happens quite frequently. I believe people just get... Well, think about this, too, though. Bees are stinging insects. You know, that's why they have a stinger. They do protect their honey. We've gotten so used to gentle bees because that's what bee queen breeders do, like ourselves. We don't breed out of angry or aggressive hives, only the real gentle ones. So we've gotten used to that. And so when they go back to the way they are without that, what would we call it, a genetic intervention, you know, then we think, wow, these bees are mean. They're you know, attacking me. But there can be a lot of reasons, but you always want to think about requeening with a gentle queen if they get kind of mean on you.
Well, what can folks do if they do realize they have a skunk or coons or possums or something like that? Do people put up fences? Do they put out something smelly? How do you keep that from happening?
Well, a bear, you have to either raise the hive up, you know, on some kind of a platform where you can climb up there, and that's not handy. Or you can build an electric fence up. I've received pictures from customers where they have actually put up an electric fence to keep the bears out. And you can also, like I said, use those little boards that have the spikes on them and put those in front of your hive so that the skunks and little critters can't get into the hive at night. They don't want to walk over those little spiky things. And or you can raise it up high enough where maybe a skunk can't climb in there. You know, by the way, in Washington, D.C., the president's wife has a hive, and it sits really high up. It looks like it's at least 4 or 5 feet off the ground on a stand. Well, I can assure you that possum or skunk isn't going to get up in that hive when it's that high up. That's a nice egg, Sherry.
It had a lot of feathers stuck to it, so I was thinking that poor chicken.
A brutal delivery,
yeah.
Huh? I like those little specks of brown on it. It's, you know, it's like an Easter egg almost.
Well, they're all different. Some are real dark brown. Some are real light brown. They come in all colors.
What makes the difference in color? Just the chicken herself?
Yeah.
What?
Well, different. Yeah. Most American chickens lay these brown eggs, but you can get some. You can get a few chickens that have blue eggs and green eggs. I think they're smaller eggs, but that'd be cool, wouldn't it?
There was a book, a kid's book, wasn't it? Like blue eggs and ham or something, green eggs and bacon. What was that book?
I'm talking about Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
Green eggs and ham.
Are you sure it's green eggs and ham, or was it? That's the title.
I think so.
Green eggs. But I think
we better brush up on our Dr. Seuss. We've got a 2-year-old.
Oh, that's true. He's about to take us to the grave, isn't he? But I think that in that book, though, the inside was green, right? It wasn't the outside shell. I think he cooked it, and it was green in the middle.
Yeah.
All right.
That's right. You know, I think we ought to talk a little bit about... I hear a lot of times when people call on the phone, they're talking about how this was a really weird year for bees
but especially for honey.
Oh, yeah. Can we go in the shade? I'm hot standing here. It was a... well, I think every year is a challenging year with beekeeping, and it always has been. There's just a lot to it that you hope that would turn out the way that it doesn't. But and I always tell people, you know... In fact, I heard it when I went to the Eastern Apicultural Society meeting with 500 beekeepers from around the world, top entomologists. It was really great, but they were talking about this. And, they said something that I'd never heard, and I'm sure they have some kind of statistics to back it up, but what the hive does, we typically think, is the responsibility of the queen, that if we get the right queen, everything will be perfect. But, they actually said the queen only determines 25% of what happens in the hive. You know, how much honey's brought in, pest, disease, and all that. It just, the 75% of it is environment. It's just the circumstances of the year, available nectar in the area. So this year, a lot of beekeepers have been saying the honey count was really down, and there was a tremendous amount of swarming. And I would agree with both of those, but I would say... It seemed to be, to me, that swarming was twice as bad this year as it was last year, and last year it was twice as bad as the year before, and it just keeps getting worse. And I don't know really what to think of that. Who knows, right? There's so many things that could be causing it. Obviously, some races of bees are more common to swarming, like a Russian bee. But on the other hand... There are, you could have maybe a high Nosema count, which is a bee disease, and it could be so bad that the queen dies from it, and they have to requeen, and before she dies, they swarm. Commonly, though, swarming is caused from overcrowded and congestion, and I feel like I'm repeating when I say this again. I don't want to bore people, by the way. But, congested and crowded is two different things. Bees like to be crowded, but they can't be congested. Congested means there's no cells that are open on drawn frame to put the incoming nectar and pollen and for the queen to lay. And that's why they swarm. And some people will say, I don't know why they swarmed. They had five frames in the middle that were drawn out, and they had... Five frames on both sides, they had a total of 10 frames. Five were not drawn. They had plenty of room to expand. Well, those undrawn frames, they don't see those. They don't know they're there. I mean, they know they're there, but they can't use them. They're not drawn out. So they're congested even with undrawn frames. And that's why oftentimes they swarm. So we had a lot of phone calls. Swarms and also queenlessness. Tons of queenlessness, Sherry. The phone rings off the hook for people wanting queens, and I can't produce enough to... And I feel bad because many people are without queens, and I just can't provide them fast enough.
Yeah, well, the thing I was going to talk about swarms was that a lot of folks, when they have swarms, they'll call the local beekeepers. And folks may not know exactly what to do about that if they're beekeepers. You can get, a nice little tool that we have called a bee vac that actually is like a little, kind of like a vacuum cleaner, and you can actually take it out there and you can actually remove swarms for people. And you ought to figure out how to do that, because that is something that people need to have done. And for those folks who want to try to get to where they can make money off their honey productions, that's one little sideline job that you can do. They don't do it like at Terminix and those bug removal people. What am I trying to say? Bug removal people.
Pest control people.
They don't do it. They'll call the local beekeeper, so you really ought to have that skill ready to go. And know how to help people out like that, and you can also help your family to make a little extra money by charging for that service.
And that's almost a sore spot with our business, because I don't like to do that. I don't have to do it. I don't like to do it, but I do hold the skill to do it. And so I feel like I need to help people. So I try to determine a way that I could cut down on how much I go out there and try to remove bees from people's... I'm not talking about swarms. I'm talking about in the wall, in the ceiling, and getting the bees out is just a lot of work and a lot of liability. Hi, Christian. There's a little Christian. And so what I did to try to make it worth my while is I charge $100 an hour. He wants the binoculars there. Yeah, I charge $100 an hour to do this service. And so there are people that take me up on it, but some say $100 an hour. And some of them expect me to do it for free. Sherry, and that just drives me crazy. She's motioned for me not to go into this because some kind of a company called me the other day and said, hey, you know, we got bees in a pallet. We got to get to these parts in the bottom of this wooden pallet. There's comb and everything. Would you come over and get them? I said, yeah, probably. I said, but I charge $100 an hour, you know. $100? Times are hard. I don't know if we can do that or not. And I wanted to say to them, hey, what do you make at your factory? And maybe they would say fork trucks. And I would say, okay, I'll tell you what. I want a fork truck. Just bring me one over and set it in my yard. They're not going to do it. No one calls Terminix and expects them to come get rid of their pests for free. I spent on the one of the last houses I did, Sherry, we spent 8.5 hours removing it between the two floors, and another one I had to get a jackhammer and take it out of the steps. It's a lot of work.
Well, the moral of the story is you really need to ask somebody to remove a swarm, you know, who has the experience and the know-how and the skills to do it, because you can get very, very hurt doing that yourself, especially if you have to tear apart a house. A lady called you last night, and she said she had honey dripping off her ceiling. What was that about?
I called her back, and I think I knew. I got a call earlier from, one of her, I don't know if it was an attorney or somebody that wanted me to do the job, but I think it's a real expensive, nice house that has that kind of a ceiling, and I don't know what it's, I don't know the proper name, but it's kind of almost looks like a copper ceiling, little copper tiles with, even though I'm talking about the metal ceilings and all, and she wants each one of those panels removed and, you know, plaster underneath that you could tear open and remove the hive and then put all that back, and so I would have to work with her construction company, you know.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's something that's going to take a lot of time and takes a lot of skill. And you just don't want to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. So there are people out there who need your help, and I think beekeepers could easily develop those skills so that they can, you know, do that for other people.
Yeah, because on the last two jobs that I did, I got paid $950 for one job and $250 for another job. So it is good, isn't it?
It. Some people balk at the price of a bee vac, and I think the lesson that you can take from what he just said was you can buy a bee vac, and you can certainly get your money back very easily and very quickly. So mm-hmm. that doesn't need to be a concern that you're going to buy an expensive piece of equipment and then end up not having the resources to pay for it. It will pay for itself very quickly.
Yeah, that's true. But it does take time. It's the hardest kind of work you can imagine. It's a mess. It's just... You know, it's not like $100 an hour sitting in an office somewhere.
It's easier to raise chickens.
It'd take a lot of chickens to make $100 an hour, though. But, you know, we don't do a lot of it, and I'm glad of that, because I do not enjoy doing it. You know, I have to figure out where wires are before you cut a wall open, where the plumbing is, and you have to sign liability paperwork, and it's just, whew. Can't enter into it very lightly, can you? I had some emails that I thought it'd be fun to answer about beekeeping. Let me go grab them real quick here. All right. Hi, Christian. You want to say hello to everybody? Here, say hello. Say hello to everybody. Hello. Say hello. You never talk in a microphone, do you?
Uh-huh.
There you go. Say hi. Say hello.
Hello.
Let's pretend somebody's in there. Let's say, who you want? Let's Thomas the Train. Let's pretend Thomas is in there. Now say hello, Thomas. Say hello, Thomas. Okay, that doesn't work either. He talks when you don't want him to, and he talks a lot. It's been a long time since we had a last Studio Bee Live, and people have certainly let us know we have some Studio Bee Live addicts that just have to have this, and we enjoy doing it. I thought to start with a few emails so people could learn from what other people are asking about beekeeping. And let me pull those up right now. All right, questions. I've kind of saved some of the ones that I thought would be an educational tool by sharing with people. Well, here's an email from a gentleman that says, "Hi, David. I wonder if you could help me identify some bees we have in our backyard hanging in a nest on our apple tree." Does that sound like honeybees, Sherry?
Hanging in a nest?
Yeah.
Not a nest.
Yeah, that's immediately what I thought. I don't even know if they're bees, and I guess he means honeybees, but they're big, about an inch, and they live in a big papier-mâché type nest. What do you immediately think of when you think of papier-mâché nest?
Those hornet things.
Yeah, hornets. And he said that it's about 18 inches tall and it's gray. Honeybees always make the yellow brownish wax, not dry nest, and about a foot wide. I can take a picture of them. I don't want to exterminate them if we don't have to. Can you help me and give me some advice? And he sent me a photo of this huge hornet's nest hanging from an apple tree. And
how long does it take them to make that paper mache nest?
Yeah, I think it's fast.
It must be.
Yeah, I don't think it's very long at all. So once I saw what they were, in fact, there were a couple of them sitting on the outside of the nest, and I was able to do an exact match of what kind of hornet they are. And I wrote him back, and I said, "Run!" And actually, it's called a bald. I think it's bald face or a white face hornet's nest, and they're very aggressive. And they don't lose their stinger. They can sting repeatedly, unlike a honeybee. And they have an actual scientific name that I could never pronounce. But it's not actually in the hornet category. It's actually a wasp and a yellow jacket category. Because they make their nest in the open air, it usually refers to them as hornets. So I did not have any advice to give him how to get rid of them other than running. And I told him I would go hide under my bed until the last one was dead. He lives in another state or somewhere. So a lot of people do send us these photos and try to help us get rid of what they think are honeybees. You know, you and I went to a lady's house that had yellow jackets on her house. And so in the fall, you see that a lot. Here's another email that says, "Hi, David. How's the family? Hope all is well with you guys. I just inspected my two hives, and I really feel that I need to requeen them. I am not finding many eggs or larvae. I am also not finding as much honey as I thought there would be. Each hive has about 7 frames drawn on the bottom deep and about 5 drawn on the top deep. There seems to be more pollen than honey, but most of it is empty. Is that normal? When could you send me 2 marked clipped queens? Do I need to call to order them? Also, do you think I will need to start feeding my bees to help them build up for the winter? Look forward to hearing from you. Really enjoy the lessons and look forward to the next podcast. Thanks for your help."
Well, that's nice. You know, the first thing that I want to say, not to this particular person, but to everybody, is don't rely on emailing us.
Yeah.
If you need to order or change your order, or if we need to exchange something, or we need to add to it, please, please call us. Please don't email us those kinds of things, because David literally gets hundreds every week. And inevitably somebody gets lost in the mix, and you know that doesn't bode well for us or for them. So please, if you've got orders or changes to orders, call in and talk to myself or David or daughter or somebody. That's how to get that taken care of.
Yeah, that's a good point, Sherry. Because sometimes, not that we don't mind it, I understand people need to email us, but in order to tell us what they need, they have to tell us what's been going on, and that takes paragraph after paragraph. And I know I'm not trying to tell people not to do that, but what happens sometimes is I don't realize, you know, when I'm reading, I think someone's just telling me something. And I don't realize at the very bottom, the last sentence might say, please send me two more hives. And I just blew past that. I didn't see it.
Someone will say, so I guess I'll take another one. And you just don't even realize that they actually just placed an order.
Yeah, exactly. So, and like one gentleman wrote me, and I did mess up when I wrote his order down. He also wanted 20 deep frames, and I wrote that as an afterthought below where I should have on the order form. And of course, no one caught it and shipped him everything but those. But then I woke up in the middle of the night thinking I remember reading an email weeks ago that somebody didn't get 20 deep frames. And I went back through my email, Sherry, and spent probably 2 hours. I could not find that email. So please call us on the phone. It would help us keep our sanity much longer than we think we're going to keep it. Do we need to answer his questions? Yeah, okay, five. He's got about 12 drawn comb. He's not happy with honey production. He thinks he needs a new queen. You know, I really don't know if this is his first year hive or not, and if it is a first year hive, he doesn't really need to requeen unless she's just not doing good. And if she's not doing good, if he doesn't see a lot of eggs and larvae, then yeah, he needs to requeen. I don't see any purpose in getting a queen with a clipped wing. I do clip wings for people, but that's, in my opinion, it's an old-timey practice. People did it so the queen wouldn't swarm. I think she'll still try to swarm and just not fly very far. You'll lose your queen and swarm and everything. So, all right, let's see. Here's another one. Hi, David. Just wanted to say hi. I enjoyed meeting you last month at the EAS conference. Hope all is well with the bee farm and family. If you're coming east for one of your courses to Pennsylvania, drop me an email or give me a call. We can get together for lunch or something. And if I come west someday, I'll give you a call and perhaps we can get a chance to check out your operation. Anyway, you got to run. The folks in the back don't want to wait for their pilots to finish their emails. He must be an airplane pilot, huh? Mm-hmm. Huh. He must be sitting in the front of the plane getting ready for takeoff.
Well, I heard not long ago that some plane was stuck on the runway for like 6 hours. You think that was him?
Maybe he just couldn't get rid of the email, huh? I got to answer these emails. Tell him to be quiet and eat more peanuts. No, it was a different issue. It could have been him. You know, I did meet Jeff, and I wish I would have known he was a pilot because my brother's a pilot. We could have talked about that, but Jeff is, you know, there are a lot of people at the AS conference, and I was just walking outside, and Jeff stopped me and said, hey, I noticed you're David Burns. I recognize you from your website, you know. And I said, yeah. So we kind of, you know, how you, in a big conference, you don't know anybody. You kind of gravitate to the few relationships you make while you're there. And so we had lunch, ate together a few times and talked, and we enjoyed that. It was a good time. Well, yeah, and what he means here is that if you ever have one of your courses over in Pennsylvania, Sherry and I have been kicking around the idea of not just holding beginning bee courses here, but we'll certainly go on the road maybe, or at least I will, and hold these in other places. And I was thinking about that, you know, how any association can have their own beekeeping course, and they should. I'm not saying that I know anything more than people in associations around the U.S., but you know how when you have somebody come in from 25 miles away, they are an expert?
The distance makes them an expert?
It does, because, you know, it's always been that way in the local church. You know, I can get up and teach and preach on certain things, and everybody yawns and falls asleep. But if you hire or pay somebody to come in and say the same thing because they flew in or drove in, woohoo! Did you hear what they said? Wow! We've never heard that before. They were awesome! Well, they, you know, just... So we may not have anything better to say than the person in your association, but at least we'll drive in and appear to be an expert. How's that?
There you go.
All right. Alright, here's another one. David, should I transport bees in an open trailer? Would that be too much wind on them? I suppose I would load them with the entrance toward the back and seal off the cracks. I've made arrangements to have them inspected before I purchase them. So he's asking about transporting the bees in a trailer, and
A whole hive or packages?
Lots of hives. Or, you know, he's buying somebody's complete hives.
Okay, well, you know, I'm an idiot when it comes to things like this.
No, you're not. You're smart.
But a whole hive, how else would you do it but in an open trailer?
Well, originally he thought of an enclosed trailer, and I said, no, you can never transport bees in an enclosed trailer. It's too hot, especially in the daytime. I told him at night you could, and on a rainy night it's better. But open trailer, they need wind and fresh air. He asked, how do I seal off the fronts? How would you seal off the front?
Oh, I just take the piece of screen and stick it in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you could wait for a rainy day and move them then, but it's hard on the beekeeper, you know. Here's another one from Beth that says, can you tell me, is there anyone here in central Illinois who does or can train us to do bee sting therapy?
Oh, that's considered medical
practicing medicine,
and I don't think anybody would do that unless you had some sort of a medical license. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're allowed to do it unless you have a medical license. Mm-hmm. So the answer would be no.
That's the safest approach. You know, certainly you can sting. I've stung you, and I'm not practicing medicine.
Right, but I'm not going to sue you either.
How do I know?
I'm not going to sue you like I would a doctor.
Yeah, I know. It does. And that's why I emailed her and I told her that if she's just wanting to do it for herself, you know, we've sold bees to people with MS, people that want to sting themselves. And that's different than us stinging people. Now, we have stung people, good friends and bad enemies. I haven't stung any bad enemies. They don't see me anymore. But we, you know, good friends that are, you know, have a, you know, something every now and again. Not many, one or two, I think. But it does make a difference. It does help, doesn't it, Sherry?
Oh, you know, tremendously, it helps. You know, I've had several, you know, touches of bursitis or, you know, other such things, and after being stung, you know, it's not necessarily a quick fix. It could be, but it's not necessarily a quick fix. Usually it's a number of them. And I actually went to, is it apitherapy or apitherapy?
Yeah, either one.
Either one. I actually went to a workshop on that one time out in, Indiana, and the fellow that was teaching the course was from Ohio. So I don't know. Maybe they have different rules in Ohio. But I think you can take some courses on apitherapy if you look around on, you know, on the internet or whatever.
Yeah, I cautioned her too. I said, you know, I wouldn't hang a shingle up and say, bee venom therapy specialist, come by and get your shot.
No, but one thing that you can do is there are doctors that do it, and
right.
You can offer your services to doctors as far as bringing honeybees in to a doctor,
mm-hmm.
you know, to use. I mean, I don't know how you would. It's very hard to keep a single honeybee alive, so
yeah.
I don't know exactly how you'd work that out or mm-hmm. anything like that. But you know, you could let area doctors know, hey, I've got honeybees, and I'll be glad to, you know, do whatever to help you out.
Yeah, we've helped several doctors start beekeeping. I think some of them do keep a hive somewhere where they can go back and grab some to sting patients, you know. But that is a risky business because, obviously, people can have anaphylactic shock. You're right, Sherry. They need to go to a doctor. I told her that. I said, you know, if you're going to sting someone, you know, just have them show up out of the blue at your house, that's very dangerous. And be better under doctor supervision because they have the EpiPen if there's a bad reaction to it.
Yeah, you got to have those EpiPens, and we tried to just have them on hand, but we couldn't. You can't get them without a doctor's prescription. And what I understand is they have to do with a person's weight
mm-hmm.
and, I don't know, age?
Yeah.
Is it different for a little kid than it would be an older person? I don't know. But you have to have a prescription.
Yeah.
So there isn't any way, I guess, you know, that you really would know how to effectively, you know, use an EpiPen unless you were a nurse or a doctor or something.
Yeah, okay. All right, so be careful about that. Yesterday a swarm, another email. Yesterday a swarm of bees took up residency on the south side of our brick home. Is there any way we can get rid of them without being stung? We live across the street from a middle school and the children walk by our house daily. Please let me know what to do. My husband seems to think they might be honeybees.
Well, you know, one thing I tell people when they call and they say, well, you know, I got the swarm that landed in a tree, I got the swarm that landed on the side of the blah, blah, blah. You know, they usually almost always go away within, you know, sometimes just a matter of hours. Sometimes it's a couple of days. If it rains, they're going to stick around a little bit longer. But if they're not in your house, in a wall, in a chimney, in a tree, they're not going to just hang on a tree for an indefinite amount of time. They will get up and move until they figure out where to go.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. So in her case, him or her, they should just wait and see if the bees will leave that brick wall. They will, you know, they're going to go find an enclosure somewhere. Hi, David and Sherry. I've been reading your lessons, trying to learn as much as I can before deciding to jump into beekeeping. However, I need to continually refer back to the things until they become routine. So I have a question. How long do you plan to keep all your old lessons posted? I had thought to download them to flash drive, but we need our computer hard drive cleaned, replaced, or upgraded to a new computer. Don't know which solution yet. My son advised me to wait about the flash drive since we might end up with a different format. We'll come back to that after we take this call. Okay, we're back. So how long are we, you got a kick out of this email. You were laughing because you thought it was funny, I guess, but he's wanting to know how long will these old lessons be online because he wants to download them, but he can't because he's got little computer problems.
Yeah, I don't know, I thought that was funny. We were talking about that yesterday, that so many people tell us that they copy off all the lessons and then they hole punch them and they put them in a binder. And then, of course, we've got people who don't need internet access, and so they, you know, don't have the lessons at all, but they've heard about them. Mm-hmm. So we got to throwing some ideas around yesterday that maybe we ought to, you know, at this point in our lives, I don't think we're ready to write a book, but, you know, and there are plenty of books out there, and I think people like this real informal format, real newsy, real down-to-earth kind of thing, that maybe we ought to just copy them off ourselves, print them off, and people can call and say, you know, boy, I want a hard copy of that, and we could sell it for a few bucks. I don't know.
Yeah, I got a great phone call yesterday from a gentleman that read one of our lessons, and he found out that I was from, that I grew up in Memphis, and I think he was a policeman in Memphis. Maybe he's retired now. Let's see if I can find his name. I think he placed an order. Oh, yeah, there it is. His name is Joe, and we had a great conversation. I was really blessed and encouraged after we talked because he said he just enjoys so much reading through our lessons. And he said, David, you're going to think this is funny, but I print these off. And I put them in a binder or put them together in some kind of a book format. He says it's bigger than a Sears catalog. Wow.
I didn't know Sears still sent out catalogs.
I wonder if they do.
I remember back in the old days. Remember you used to get those Christmas catalogs?
Woo!
No, not the Christmas. Yeah. That one, no. I think the wish book was smaller. I think the regular ones during the year. Those mamas were thick, and they'd come free to everybody. Do you remember that?
Oh,
and pretty soon, then they started charging you like $2 to get it. You couldn't get a catalog unless you went into the store and you bought a catalog. Boy, that's a long time ago, wasn't it?
And I love those wish books because I circled everything that I wanted for Christmas.
I read some story the other day about a family that actually, the little kid liked the wish book so much they just would wrap the wish book up for Christmas. And they said all year long that kid would thumb through that book until the next Christmas. Oh. It was all worn out and falling apart, and he got him a new one.
Well, things were different back when I grew up in the 60s, and that's, you know, if you wanted something, you didn't know what was out there unless you looked through that book. Now you can get online and TV, they advertise everywhere. Well, in answering Hank's email, Hank, don't worry, they're going to be online for a long time. So you go ahead and get that computer fixed and they'll be there when you get that computer going or when you finally buy a new computer or something. I'll skip this one. He was asking, how do you take honey out of a hive without an extractor? And everyone knows how to do that.
you just lick it out, right?
Well, it's whatever works, you know.
Yeah. You take a spoon and just.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who knows how to do that? I mean, anybody can imagine a way to do that, and whatever works, right? I mean, if it's let it drip, or you go do that, and I'll stay on the air. All right. Well, here's a nice email from Tracy. I just want to tell you that I love these little lessons. Thank you very much. And that was a nice little email from Tracy. Thank you. Well, sorry that everything is so noisy.
He's actually doing a ring.
Oh, yeah, the phone just seems like it rings off the hook, people needing Queen. So, like I said, I apologize for all the noises that are going on. We still have to run a business while we're doing this broadcast. So bear with us. We'll just keep coming in and out, I guess. But that was a nice email from Tracy that says she likes these little lessons, Sherry. Here's somebody inquiring about packages. I told them to start maybe making orders in November.
What?
There won't be that many people in November that will call. So maybe it'll take some of the heat off the year, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
All right. David, great blog. I have a quick question for you. I'm a beginner beekeeper, 2 years. And I just thoughtlessly medicated one of my hives for Nosema. This is a strong, thriving hive full with honey. I thought I detected Nosema, but who knows? I never properly tested the bees. Anyway, I wanted to take some honey out next week and give very small gifts to friends, small pieces of comb with honey. Will this be too toxic? I'm planning taking the honey from the frames that already had honey in them, but still. I used 1 level teaspoon of fumigillin and 2 gallons of sugar water. Let me know what your thoughts are on this.
Oh,
well,
that's too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad.
That's too bad.
Well, you know, I would have to go with the label instructions, and the label does say not to treat if there's any honey in the hive, and that you also can't. You have to be done treating weeks before you. Oh yeah, you have to be finished treating several weeks before you put supers on. So he lost it. He can't use that honey.
So are you saying that's something you just use in the spring?
Spring and fall, exactly. Because Nosema is worse in the spring, coming out of winter. You know, you want to try to reduce Nosema in the spring before you treat them in the fall before they go into winter. You don't want them to go winter with Nosema.
What does Nosema look like? Is that the one where they defecate everywhere?
Well, that is, that's dysentery. That is usually a symptom of Nosema, but not always. So you can have Nosema and not have any symptoms, noticeable symptoms. So other than sending them all to be tested, you really don't know.
So do people do that just as a safeguard?
Exactly. It'd be like me and you taking antibiotics just in case we thought we had something. That's why I don't advocate it unless you test and know you have it.
Oh, okay. So you don't do it anywhere near the honey time. So you do it after you take your honey off or before? For the honey flow starts the next year.
Exactly. That's exactly what you do. So just leave that honey on there and let him enjoy it all winter long. And be a little more careful by putting that medicine in there.
That's with everything, right? I mean, you never want to put any kind of anything in there that's not organic.
True.
If there's any
right.
honey coming in, or you think you're going to take some honey off soon, or you're going to cut some comb, you don't mess with any of that stuff.
Now, I'm not up on every single solitary medical treatment on beehives, so there may be one or two that you might get by with, but I doubt it too. And if there was, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I'm thinking as a consumer.
Right.
Even if somebody said, "Oh, it's perfectly fine for human consumption," I'm sorry, but I don't want that anywhere near my honey.
And I'm really scared of eating other people's honey sometimes because I never know what practices the beekeeper may have not followed, you know. And so I only like my own honey. All right. Oh, here, yeah. This we'll just quit with this one because I know our time's getting away from us. Do you have a catalog you can send me?
No.
Oh, Dave Ramsey is he's on Fox News. He's a financial expert, you know, and I heard a guy call in and say he's starting a business, wants to do a catalog. And David was like, what do you want a catalog for? David Ramsey's kind of, you know, he's kind of
in your face.
In your face, isn't he? Sometimes he is. And he's nice about it, but he's like, man, you don't need a catalog. You need a website. Put that time on that catalog. Dude, nobody does catalogs anymore. Get a website. So I tell people we have a website, and I understand that not everybody has the internet, and we would probably have a few more customers if we spent $2 million and printed a Long Lane Honeybee Farm Christmas wish book and sent it to everyone in the United States. We might make $500,000 and almost cover the $2 million it took to print the book and mail it.
Well, you know, first of all, I don't think we need that much business.
No.
You know, we have enough business. We could have a little bit more, but we have enough business without a catalog. And, you know, those folks who don't like to get on the Internet, you know, my dad's one of them. You know, they'll just pick up the phone and talk to us and say, well, I'm looking at this, or I'm thinking of that, or do you have one of these?
Good point.
And, you know, and also, you know, from a family that is on a budget and has to watch what we... has to watch what we spend. Catalogs can be evil. You get to open up one of those catalogs and you get to daydreaming and you get to thinking you need this and you need that. And the one thing in beekeeping is, as a lot of gadgets and a lot of gizmos and a lot of whatchamacallits, and, you know, those bees aren't any more impressed.
Oh, they're not, are they? I got this high-fluting new system you put on the top. It lets this do that, and that is proven that this will be that. And, oh, my bees died over the winter, you know. Now, wait a minute.
You know, that's fine. You know, we're not putting that down. That's absolutely fine. But we're just trying to tell folks that we're just, you know, I guess traditional, old-fashioned beekeepers who just believe that, you know, you need a hive and you need some wax and you need the sunshine and you need some good stock and you're going to do okay.
Now, did you say we're old traditional? I mean, old.
I said traditional old fashioned. I didn't say we were old.
Yeah, because I'm still in my 40s.
Well, so am I.
I'm hanging on to my 40s for another, what, 2 or 3 months?
Yeah, 2 or 3 months.
Woo! I got to stay in my 40s and enjoy it and talk about it before I get in my 50s. But it is interesting that, now, you said something, though, that said if you get a catalog, they can be evil because you're tempted to buy things you don't need. Mm-hmm. So maybe we do need to make a catalog. People would buy things, and they would go, whoa, I didn't know they made this. I could use that. And that is something people make catalogs, isn't it?
It is, because you do make a lot of money off those little gadgets and little gizmos. But,
sure.
But we're just good at making hives. And
we do carry everything else. So if anybody wants anything else, they don't see it on the website. Just call, like Sherry said, call us. We'll get it to you. It's not a big deal. You know, when I get a catalog and I'm ready to place an order, I'm a different person, Sherry, because I would never get a catalog and place an order without calling them. You know how some catalogs have that paper you tear out in the back, you figure your own shipping and everything? I would never do that. From a catalog, I call in, and then usually I never call in and say, I need this item, this item, this item. I always have to say, you know, well, what size is that? And does it fit on this? And how often would you do that? And so, excuse you, Sherry.
you're one of those caller inners that operators probably can't stand.
I know it. And what's really bad, if before I was running my own bee business, I would call said bee business and I would say, hi, I got a question about beekeeping, and I would rattle off this real long question, and then the lady on the other end would say, I'm sorry, sir, I just take orders. I don't have a clue. And I said, well, is there anybody that can answer my question? No, sir, not right now. And, you know, so we are here. We seem to go crazy trying to answer questions because we do want to help people. We do want to answer questions. And so I think that's why people do call and email, and we enjoy it. So don't count on a catalog in the future. I'm not saying never, ever will we do it, but it doesn't look promising. Just call us or check out our website. Well, Sherry, that's long enough on today's broadcast. We're going to have to do more of these because people do want to hear them and enjoy them. So we do plan to do more, and we do want to thank you for dropping in. I'm going to have some closing comments to make, so why don't you say goodbye to everybody, because you are the life of the party, Sherry.
Well, okay, goodbye. I'm going to go look for some more eggs.
All right, before you go, though, I did tell people I'm writing a new lesson, and I'm telling people that you're going to help with the next basic beekeeping course. And that might really be encouraging for people to hear that, because you're a better teacher than I am.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
Well, you're a teacher by trade.
Well, yeah, that is what I've done all my life. But I think the women would not... You know, the women would like to come, I think, if a woman is teaching. But I think one reason why we're doing it is because David has so much knowledge that I think sometimes it's hard for him to go back basic. And I have so little knowledge that I don't extrapolate and go on and on and on with all the knowledge that I don't have. So
you're right. When I did my last basic class, it was a 3-hour class, and I found myself just wanting to say everything about everything. And you're going to be very specific on points and all, and so we'll team tag and teach that. That'd be nice. I get tired teaching all day long, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, see you, Sherry. And bring us back good reports and all those good eggs. Well, this concludes today's broadcast of Studio B Live. I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you along, listening to us talk about beekeeping. We do really enjoy bees. Bees are a lot of fun. And though at times we talk about the various diseases or pests or troubles there are out there with bees today, you know, it's really not that bad. For the most part, you can keep bees and bees stay healthy. If you take good care of them, make sure they have good sources of nectar or feed them when they don't, bees seem to stay pretty healthy and they're just a lot of fun. So we hope that if you are considering becoming a beekeeper, that you will contact us and tell us that you want to be a beekeeper, and we'll do what we can to help educate you, provide the equipment that you need and the bees that you need to be a successful beekeeper. Here's some of our contact information. We'd love for you to get in contact with us. We have a phone number that you can call us. It's 217-427-2678. That number again, 217-427-2678. And we'd love to hear from you. You can always email us, but if you are placing an order or if you need a queen, like Sherry said earlier, don't email us, just call us. But if you want to email us with your questions, you can email david@honeybeesonline.com. That's david@honeybeesonline.com. Also, check out our website. Our website is honeybeesonline.com. And from that website, we have a wealth of information, including our bee lessons that are very popular and you'll enjoy very much. As a side note too, if you want to view our bee blog, we actually have a blog about beekeeping, and that is basicbeekeeping.blogspot.com. Again, the blog about beekeeping that we produce is called, and you can do it on your web browser as basicbeekeeping.blogspot.com. And we'd love to have you stop by. That's it for now. Until next time, remember to behave yourself.